Will you join me to read a passage of scripture? I want you to stand up and read that passage of scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And I want you to pay attention to the name of God, okay? All right? So from verse 1, join me, read loudly, and as if you would just read it as if you are the only person reading it in front of God. Now the young man Samuel was, and the word of the Lord, there were no frequent visions. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The Lamb of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and laid down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. My son, lie down again." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Please be seated. We need to train our heart to tune in to God. God wants to speak to us. I hope you know that. So one of the most important things in our life is to constantly remind ourselves, what is the Lord's will for me? Today, tomorrow, in the future. So we need to train our hearts to tune in to God. Train our ears. Train our heart. I was buying lunch at Subway Sandwich last week. A man more age, maybe even 50, 60 years old, man, with his elderly mother, were ahead of me in the line. There was only one receptionist, one employee in the whole store. And I was the next one, following the son and the elderly mother. The son ordered a sandwich very fast. One day, American bread, American cheese, Italian, whatever, vegetables and so on, very fast. And it comes to the mother. The mother said, "Give me a monster sub, number 3, okay?" The lady serving said, "What kind of bread?" The mother was standing there, didn't say anything. The son said, "Mom, she asked you what kind of bread." "Oh, okay." Then next, he said, "What kind of cheese you want?" No answer. The son said, "Mom is asking you what kind of cheese you want." "Oh, okay." Then, go on. By that time, the son realized that I may be frustrated, but I was not. I was just watching. I was hungry. And the son turned to me and said, I am sorry. Take us so long. You look hungry. Yes, I said, I'm hungry. But I said, it's okay. Take your time. And then the employee of Subway said, ma'am, what kind of vegetable you want? By that time, she's already put all the whatever is supposed to be in the monster sub, you know, put the meat inside. But now comes to the vegetable. So, ma'am, what kind of vegetable you want? He said, no. She said, no. It was strange that somebody doesn't want any vegetable on the subway. I think she didn't hear it. And the son said, Mom, you want vegetable. You want vegetable in your sandwich. Oh, yeah. By that time, she realized there's a little problem in the communication. And she said, and I appreciate this very much. She said to the lady serving, she said, it is not your voice. It is my hearing. The problem is not your voice. The problem is my hearing. I'm getting old. I appreciate the lady. She's very gracious. When I get old, when I am getting old, and I found out the same problem. I have problem listening. Sometimes my kids, why you turn on the Amazon music so loud? So, Alexa, lower the volume, you know, when we were together. I said, I cannot hear it, you know, but it's too loud for them. You understand? Then I realized that there is a problem with my physical hearing, but I'm okay. I'm thankful. I can still hear pretty good, even though not as good as the days when I was younger. But we are not talking about physical hearing today. We are talking about spiritual hearing. Now, you know the passage. Go back to the passage. And I want to tell you, you know, do you pay attention to the names of God? Do you know the name of God? The Lord is Yahweh. But the Bible doesn't translate it. Now, there is a group of people, they are translating the Bible called Legacy Bible. And I think the New Testament is out. And the Old Testament is still being completed. And every word, the word Lord is translated as Yahweh. Y-H-W-E-H. Because that's the name of the Lord. But you know the Israelites, they were very hesitant to call the name of the Lord, because the commandment, third commandment, the second commandment tells us not to blaspheme the name of God. So they are afraid that if they wrongfully use the name of God, they'll be in trouble. So they avoid, they use another term, Lord, to whenever they come to the name Yahweh, okay? But you say, but the Chinese Bible translated it, Yehehua, you understand? So, but the English Bible always follow that tradition as L-O-R-D. When you say L-O-R-D in all in capital letters, that means that's the personal name Yahweh. I am who I am. That's the name of God. See? This passage, 10 verses, use 10 times the Lord over there. That means the Lord is trying to get attention of Samuel. God is trying to get attention of young Samuel, who was being trained to be a prophet. Why? Because Israel was far from God. They sinned. They didn't listen to God. They didn't love God. They didn't obey God. Eli was very, very excellent in his younger days. But then when he got old, he got loose in his spiritual discipline. He allowed his sons to sin against God, to steal things from the people, and cause the people to hate going to the temple because the priests there were corrupt. And he didn't say anything to stop the sons. And God was angry at him. So God has not spoken to Eli for a long time. So in Eli's days, the word of the Lord was rare in those days because God doesn't want to speak to the Israelites through the prophet. God doesn't want to speak to Eli. Definitely not his sinful sons. And so that was the situation. But God still loves his people. You understand? God doesn't give them up. God still wants to get their attention. So the Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking. Samuel, one time. Samuel, second time. Samuel, the third time. Samuel didn't know. He was young. He hasn't learned this part. He has learned a lot of things. He didn't learn that God can speak to you directly. And God can tell you what to do. You understand? So every time he heard it, he, you know, in the temple, and Eli was sleeping in his own place, and next to it was Samuel's little room, okay? And so Samuel was pretty good in hearing. So even in the middle of the night, he probably was still sleeping. And then Samuel, and he ran to Eli. "Here I am. You call me." "No." "Second time. Here I am. You call me." "No. Go back. Sleep. Oh, I need to sleep. Don't wake me up." Right. And then the third time, "Sir, you call me, Samuel. You call me again." And Eli realized, yeah, somebody's trying to get your attention. One time, second time, third time. And he said, "Oh, Samuel, I didn't call you. The Lord is calling you. So next time, if the Lord speak to you again, call you again, you say, 'Lord, here I am. I'm listening.'" Wow, that's very good. And Samuel went back to sleep, and then God called him again. And you know what he did? He heard the voice. He didn't run to Eli. He stayed in his own room. He said, "Speak. Your servant is listening." He didn't, do you know? Eli told him to say, "Lord, here I am. Speak to me." He did not listen. The one thing that he did not listen to Eli is he did not name God's name. He did not say, "Lord, here I am. I'm listening." He did not. You know why? Some interpreter, this is not an absolute, I cannot prove it to you, but people say that he has learned not to use God's word lightly, easily. So he did not say, "Lord." He dare not say, "Oh, the Lord." He is afraid. Maybe it's not the Lord, it's something else. Would it be Satan speaking to me? You know, telling me to do something that God is not pleased with. No. He began to experience. Wow. And God, I'm going to tell you something. Because God did not give up Israel because he loves Israel. He loves his people. God still loves to speak to you and I. Do you know that? Now, don't be afraid when I talk. God can talk to you. You know, he said, "No, I was told." Some people were told, "God never speak to you. Only read the Bible." No, I don't think so. God will never tell you something that will contradict to the Bible. Listen to that. Revelation tells us clearly, no more adding No more taking away just the Bible. But God speaks to us all the time. Just like God speaks to Jonah. Why are you angry, Jonah? I think we all need to hear that from time to time. Why? Your wife sometimes say, why are you so angry? God would talk to you too. Why are you so angry? Why are you so upset? Why are you running away? Why didn't you do? I'm telling you, God, just like in the New Testament, God tell Peter, get up, go there, go fish and get the coin and pay tax. You understand? I hope you believe it. How long has it been since you believe that God is telling you to do something? Did you listen to him? Angela told me that he still remember a story that I told 20 years ago. I have a good friend, love God. He's an elder of the church. I said, Elder Ye, why can you serve God so faithfully for so long? You know what he told me? He said, Herman, said, every morning when I get up and I pray and I talk to God, I said, God, what? I love you. I want to do something for you. What do you want me to do today? Stephen Yeh. And then he said, interesting. He said, then the Lord will let me know what he wants me to do that day. And I listen and I obey him. That's how I live my life. What he said stuck in my heart and my mind. I want to be like that too. God doesn't give you new doctrines or revelation contradicting the Bible. No, I'm not talking about that. You know that. I'm talking about God's direction in your life. God is speaking to the church. Many ways I will skip because of the time. I'll skip, I can tell you 15 ways that God would still speak to people through creation, through scripture, through Holy Spirit, even through a donkey. You know the story. Okay? So God still, but God wants to get your attention. And God wants you to listen and obey him. That's my message today. So we listen. We need to ask, who is speaking? Eli, here I am. You call me. I did not call you. He didn't even realize. First time, second time, third time. Go back to sleep. Then he realized, who is speaking? The Lord is speaking. Who? Oh, that's serious. He hasn't heard from the Lord for a long time. He yearns to listen to God. Eli. And you know, I think he knew why God has not spoken to him. God actually told him, because you despise me and you respect your son more than you respect me. And I'm angry with you and I'm going to judge you and your family. That's what God said. That's the last God told Eli. And God didn't tell. So he knew. But now, all of a sudden, he realized, oh, God is still speaking to us, to Israel, but not to me, but to Samuel, to young Samuel now. God has hope in Samuel. God has hope that Samuel will bring revival into Israel. So then God even said to Samuel, the thing I'm going to tell you is called cause people tingling in their ears, because it's judgment. It's a message of judgment. I will judge Eli and his family. And you know the story, it's terrible, terrible story, how God judged Israel, losing the battle. And when they found out, and then Eli died, and his daughter-in-law died, and so on and so forth, and all this. So God is speaking to Samuel. And we need to know who is speaking. And then we'll say, what should I do now? Then it would be very, very simple. I don't have very complicated things to say. It's very simple. The Lord just brought this to my mind. I thought I would talk about listening. You know, if we listen to God, if the church listen to God, there'll be no confusion. If the church doesn't listen to God, everybody has their own opinion, then there's confusion. Not just in church, it's in government, the same thing. The whole world, same thing. There'll be confusion because there is no one voice with the authority, with the absolute truth that demands people to obey. When we know that God is speaking, God wants us to listen and obey him. And if we do that, there'll be no confusion. If we know God is telling me something to do, and I'll do my part. Husband, love your wife. I'm a husband. I love my wife. Wife, submit to your husband. And the wife said, Lord, here I am. I'm listening. If I'm a wife, I'll say, I'll submit to my husband. No confusion for the family. You understand? Because everybody, children as well. Children, obey your parents. I have my father, my mother. I'm a child. I'll obey God. I'll obey my parents. Okay? God is very clear. God says, parents, teach your kids according to the admonition of the Lord. And your parents, you teach them. You teach them the Bible. Teach them the truth of God. That's what you do. Now, there will be no confusion in a family. Of course, that's an ideal situation. It doesn't happen all the time. But I'm saying that is reality. If the children listen to daddy, listen to mommy, and the parents teach them the word of God, not the just secular culture, then, you know, the house, it will be orderly. You understand what I mean? So, we already talked about it. God wants his people to listen to him. The Israelites, Deuteronomy 6, 3 to 4, it says, hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you. Now, if you have Jewish friends, some of you have Jewish friends in your neighborhood, go to their house and take a look. And in the house, they have a little thing, like a holder of a pen, you know, that is on the door, on the side of the door. Yeah, go find out. And then, you know, that's called? That's called a Shema. That means it is these two verses. It's these two verses, Deuteronomy 6:4-4. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to do. Hear, O Israel, verse 4. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love him with all your heart. Now, that is what they do. So, verse 5, not exactly the verse 3. They probably might not increase verse 3. I do not know. But verse 4, for sure. Because that is one of the most important commandments that the Jewish people would obey. Hear the Lord's voice and obey, because he's the only true God. Now, what is the meaning of here? It's not just like casual listening. You know, sometimes I talk to people, especially, you know, in recent years, and I talk to them. Even if you go to some place for appointment and you talk to them, and the people is not looking at you. I used to, when I talk to people, I like to look at them, at the eyes, you know, and then, so that I make sure that they listen, they're listening to me and my requests, whatever that may be. But nowadays, a lot of people just look at their cell phone a lot of time, you know, and got distracted. What is not talking about just half-hearted listening. It is Shema, the word Shema, the verb Shema in Hebrew, it means attention, pay attention, listen up, pay attention, and obey. When you understand, when you listen attentively, carefully, diligently, you discern, you can discern what that word means. And you listen. You hear, not just hear, you know, and you listen. And you understand and you would obey it. You perceive it. Oh, this is important. I understand. It's important. And I will follow and I will follow it. Now, that's the idea of Shema. Okay? Now, God's voice is to be obeyed. Not just, oh, let me think about it. God said that you should love your brothers and sisters. You and I cannot say, oh, let me think about it, God. No, you don't. It's not an option. When God says something, you obey. It's not for negotiation. You know, something God allow us to, you know, to talk to him. How about this? How about we do that all the time, bargaining with God, right? But sometimes okay. But normally, when God says something, give you a command, just do it. To be obeyed. Now, jump to the other verse. Psalm 103. I'll just walk you through real quick. 103:20-21. Read with me. Bless the Lord, O you his angels. You mighty, read it with me. Don't be afraid. You mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers, who do his will. Now, the angels. Now, if you want to learn from the angels, these are the good angels, not the evil angels. All the good angels, all the powerful angels, you know how powerful angel is? One can kill 18,500 in one night. Is that powerful? Just one angel. Now, so you know what they do? Bless the Lord, O you, his angel. You mighty ones who do his word, the angels are mighty, obeying the voice of his word. Immediately. Right away, when they know what God wants them to send them to do, go and talk to Isaiah, tell them what to do, whatever, and they will do it. And they will do it. They represent God as messengers. They will deliver the messenger faithfully. Okay? So, now, thank you for the next verse. I think I know that we are running out of time. Let me see. I think Pastor Ho is not going to show up today. He may not be. He may be on the airplane. I don't know. But he did not list. That's why I am asking. He did not list as doing, he said, do the preaching. He did not say, do the communion today. So I thought that he's fine. But it's okay. All right. So we have to, we want to have adequate time to do the communion. Now, all right. Since, go back. Now I'll walk you through just very quickly. Maybe I don't even look at my notes. Jesus, he's talking about Jesus, obeying God. Now, if you are a teacher, brothers and sisters, if you are a leader, You lead songs and you teach the Bible, you lead Bible study. Let me tell you, you need to imitate Jesus. Okay? Now, read with me. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, okay, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning, he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. Earlier, you heard Sam praying the prayer of confession, and I say amen. You know, forgive us our sins. We were doing things against you, and we were going backward and not following your way. Forgive us. You love us. You sent Jesus to die for us, right? You remember that. Now, it, right here, it says Jesus is our example. It is a type over here about the servant, the teaching servant. If you want to be effective in helping people who is tired and weary, and what you need to do is morning by morning, and you will listen to God. He awakens my ear to hear. Every day you listen to God as those who are taught, because God wants you to learn his ways. God wants you to learn his wills, and you would obey. God has opened my ear. You know, sometimes our ears seems to be plucked up. And this morning I was talking to Sam at the very first time when I come saying, "Hi, Sam," he doesn't seem to be able to listen to me because he has a ear plug in his ear when he play music, and he has to remove that. And oh, Pastor Dan, good morning, right? And sometimes our ears need to be open. Are your ears open? Are we having opening ears to God? Okay, that's what I want to say. Then go to the second point. Let me finish this in a few minutes. Second point. Okay. And of course, this, all right. Let me just talk about this. I wrote a note. I have a quote here that I want to read to you about confusion. About confusion. Francis Schaeffer, a evangelical theologian, he said, he wrote a book called How Then Should I Live? We're talking about what should I do now? What should I do as a Christian day by day? What should I do? What is the most basic thing that you and I need to do? And Francis Schaeffer said, when we base society on the Bible, that means the Word of God, on the infinite personal God who is there, he's alive, he's there and has spoken. This provides an absolute by which we can conduct our lives and which we can judge society. That's the standard, God's Word. This leads to what Schaeffer calls freedom without chaos, freedom without chaos. When we have listened to God's voice, when we base society on humanism, that is a value system rooted in belief that man is his own measure, that man is autonomous, totally independent. If that is the case, all values are relative, and we have no way to distinguish right from wrong because we disagree on what is best for which group. This leads to fragmentations of thought, which has led us to the despair and alienation and prevalent, so prevalent in society today. I found this to be so true. You look at our society. You look at Hong Kong. I don't know much. I know more about Hong Kong, but I don't know about China. I don't know much about Taiwan. Do you think our society is fragmented? Everybody is saying that my way is the right way. I want to do it my way. You know, everything's relative. Who are you? Why do you say you? Your way is better than mine. Relativism, liberalism, okay, humanism is so prevalent in our society. Proverbs tells us, let the wise hear and increase in learning. We need, if we want to have true truth, if we want to have true wisdom, we must learn to listen to God and do what is right in the sight of God. Proverbs 8:32 to 34. I want you to read this and I'll close, okay? And then we'll help the communion. I think we should be fine. Will you read to me? If you read loud, then I'll feel very good. You don't, I only hear my voice, I don't feel too good. Okay, please join me. And blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Now, that is a personification of wisdom, meaning that is actually God speaking, or the Jesus is speaking. That's how a lot of Bible scholars would interpret this passage. What should I do? What should you do when God speaks? We need to train our heart to tune in to God. Not only listen. Now, the listening to God involves something right here. Listening to God involves watching and waiting. It's like expecting to see the king or the queen inside the palace or inside the building. And if you really want to see the king, I was visiting in Thailand one day in the northern part of Thailand. And all of a sudden, there was excitement on the street. They say that the king has arrived. Oh my goodness. It was huge for the, so they said over there on the other side of the town. So I met my wife and I, we ran to see the king. Boom, boom. That time, we have someone from Thailand, so she knows it's a big thing. Oh my goodness. I went over there, the whole street, all the people line up, kneeling down. The king is coming. The king will speak. Oh, amazing. I was far away. I couldn't even get close. All the soldiers, all this thing. It was something. I said, wow, it's really, the Bible said, you want to listen to God? You want God to speak to you? Huh? And watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my door. You have to wait. You have to train yourself to be prepared. God may be speaking to you. God may be directing you to do something. And you want to be ready. You don't want to miss the opportunity. Yeah, am I right? So if you're waiting there, okay, somebody's coming out from that door. You better watch and wait. You want to get as close as possible. Now, that's the idea. You get close, but every morning, every day, what should I do? God wants to speak to you. God wants to tell you what to do as husband, as wife, as children, as a Christian. Are you listening? When was the last time you believed that God is talking to you? Let me tell you this. If you have not been able to feel that God is speaking to you for years, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. You're not a growing Christian. You're not a strong Christian. You're not doing what God wants you to do. You want to be close to God and listen to God. every day. I've never met a couple who is so dedicated to do exercise and committed to eating healthy food than Steve Hui and Angela Hui in our church. Never. It's amazing. You can talk to them if you know them. Steve Hui, you know that? You think, you know he is so strong. You know how old is he? I don't know. But you go ask him. Oh, he'll surprise you. He's like a young man. Unbelievable. You know, he played Tai Chi every day. I don't know for how long. An hour, 2 hours, every day. I never learned Tai Chi. I cannot claim that I would be able to do that. But he told me. I said that, wow, you really, you're strong, you're healthy. And he said, I do Tai Chi. I got up and I do Tai Chi. I do a warm up and then I do Tai Chi. I said, what's the secret? What's the secret? He said, you do Tai Chi. There's 108 movements. Whatever that is. Okay, 108 movements. Continuous. One, you cannot miss. It has to be in order. It has to be in order. You understand? 108. I said, what is the secret? He said, the secret is concentration. He said, when you do Tai Chi, you think of nothing else. Just exercise. So once you start, the next one will come. And the third one will come. 100. Yeah, 一气可成. It seems like in one breath, and you're able to do the whole set of Tai Chi movements. Oh, it was impressive. He said that, do you need to memorize? I said, no, it's just part of my life. It's already in myself. If I don't think about cell phone, I don't think about what to eat, I don't think about my grandchildren, I just think about exercise. And I said, how often do you do that? He said, he asked his teacher, how often should I exercise? And his teacher looked at him when he was young, I guess. He said that, how often do you eat? Every day. Then do it every day. Brothers and sisters, what is the application? Do it every day. Lord, here I am. I'm listening. Please speak to me. Will you do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you would speak to us. Love us so much. You have not given us up. You care about us. You want to direct our path. Living a Christian life is learning to walk with you, talk with you, watching and waiting. Lord, teach us how to communicate with you. Teach us how to put aside those things that entangle us. Remove the burdens of sin from our lives so that we will be free to hear your voice and obey. In Jesus' name we pray.